right into the Word this morning. We are in a season of Advent, and it is the day that we talk and we light and we speak about peace. Whew. How many need peace? Peace. Peace is in Jesus. Peace is in Jesus. Every Sunday we look at one of the four Advent themes of hope, peace, and joy, and love. And this morning we talk about peace and the message of peace. Last week the angel brought a message to Mary and to Joseph that said that nothing is impossible with God. And it's the truth of that statement, that nothing is impossible with God, that allows us to have peace when things seem to be impossible. Are you with me? It is that message, that hope, that truth, that confidence, that no matter what you may be facing with God, nothing is impossible. He is able to do what no one else can do. That is a message that gives us peace. And this morning we're going to look at the message of the angels as they appear to the shepherds. We're going to talk about the shepherds and what they were going through. And we're going to do that by being given a glimpse through the show The Chosen of the story of the shepherds. And we're just going to dig right in, and I hope that you'll stay with me this morning. I hope that you'll allow the Spirit to speak to you this morning, because I believe that the Spirit wants to meet us in the house today. Let's watch this clip this morning. In this scene is the rejection of that shepherd. Shepherds were seen in Scripture and in the times of the Roman occupation and through Jewish history. Shepherds were seen as others. They were seen as dirty and filthy and unclean. Randy Alcorn, in his book, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, says that around 1000 BC, David's emergence as king temporarily raised the shepherd's image. The lowliness of the trade made David's promotion in 2 Samuel 7:8 striking. And while poetic sections of Scripture record positive allusions to shepherding, scholars believe that those references are a literary ideal and not a reality. The prophets, Zephaniah, he sees that shepherds symbolized judgment and social desolation. Amos. He contrasts his high calling as a prophet with his former role as a shepherd. Dr. Jeremiah says that shepherds were despised in everyday life. They were treated as second-class citizens, untrustworthy. They were not respected. They forfeited their social acceptability. They had poor reputations. They were victims of cruel stereotypes. The religious leaders maligned the shepherds' good names. Rabbis banned pasturing sheep and goats in Israel, except on deserted plains where they wouldn't come in contact with others. The oral tradition, the oral law of Judaism, the Mishnah, it reflects this prejudice, referring to shepherds in belittling terms. One passage describes them as incompetent. Another says that no one should ever feel obligated to rescue a shepherd who's fallen into a pit. They were looked down on, scorned by society. They were deprived of their civil rights. They could not fulfill judicial offices. They were not allowed to be witnesses in court. Dr. Jeremiah, he wrote that to buy wool, milk, or a baby lamb from a shepherd was forbidden on the assumption that it would be stolen property. They were called thieves. He notes that in the time of Jesus, the rabbis, with amazement, could not believe that God was called a shepherd in Psalm 23. The bottom line, church, about shepherds is that scholars and historians across the board agree that they were lowly within the grand scheme of societal structure. In comparison to others, they were seen as average, unspectacular, uninspiring, deeply impoverished. They were out of the loop with everyday life because they were ostracized and pushed out into the open plains. They were awkward people because they spent more of their time talking to animals than talking to people. They were unhygienic. They stank. They stunk. They stink. A 10-foot pole. They were uneducated. They were subservient to just about everyone. And even in the marketplace, they were rejected. They were deemed unclean from a religious standpoint because of their work with animals and their inability to worship with the others. They were in a dire place socially. They were social outcasts, looked down on, dismissed, rejected, shunned, viewed as physically dirty and religiously unclean. So can you imagine what must have been going on in the minds and the hearts of the shepherds in this moment in society? Constantly shunned by society and by religious people. Can you imagine the battle that raged in their hearts and in their minds? They were ashamed. They were embarrassed. They felt less than. They felt unseen. They were pain and hurt in their spirit. Maybe you can relate to that feeling this morning. Maybe things you've done or things you've had done to you made you feel guilt or shame or broken, or less than. Maybe you feel like you don't measure up to those around you, or you're struggling to keep up. Maybe you feel taken for granted or overlooked. Maybe you feel like others view you as less than and unwanted. Every one of us, at one time or another, have had to deal with this battle that rages in our hearts and in our minds. The battle that we don't want to hear, but that we hear, that I'm of little worth, that I'm worthless, that I'm unwanted, that I'm unloved, that I'm unclean. Maybe it was something that happened to you. Maybe it was an abandonment by a parent that made you feel unwanted or unloved. Maybe it was an abandonment by a spouse that made you feel unwanted or unloved. Maybe it was a sickness or a disease and something that you went through that made you feel unwanted and unloved. This morning, you're like the shepherd, feeling less than. The shepherds, though, had an encounter. On their way to the marketplace to see if anyone would like to purchase a lamb from their flock. In the clip, one of the men that went to the well to get water had a limp. I want us to watch this clip of an interaction with a religious leader with this shepherd. Will you show that, brother?
Perfect, no blemish, nothing wrong, see?
Spotless.
Good, no blemish.
This one's good.
Thank you.
Teacher, I have a question about the Messiah. I've studied Torah every day, and...
A shepherd wants to learn.
Yes. Do you believe the Messiah will set us free from the occupation?
Yes, he will make a great military leader.
Are you sure? Because last Shabbat, the priest read from Prophet Ezekiel, and he did not say...
How dare you?
I'm sorry, teacher. He is obsessed.
You brought this animal? I said spotless.
Spotless, yes.
These are for righteous men, for the perfect sacrifice.
Very sorry. Very sorry. Very sorry.
You wonder why the Messiah hasn't come? People like you keeping him away with your stains. If you care without a perfect lamb, I will banish you all from the marketplace.
Now, come, come. I warned you about this. Are you deaf as well as lame?
I'm sorry.
We are not slowing down for you. You take this run back up to the hill and try and keep up. Or find your own way back.
See in the clip, it wasn't just socially dire for the shepherds, it was spiritually dire. You heard the word of the Pharisee to the shepherd, it's because of people like you that the Messiah hasn't come. The message is clear, it's due to your sin, due to the things you've said or left unsaid, things you've done or left undone. It's not just people, the rabbi is saying to the shepherd, it's not just people who are disgusted by you, it's God himself who's disgusted by you. It's not just the people that are dismissive of you. It's God himself that's dismissive of you. He's done with you because you're too far gone. That's the message. And that's the message that would not be hard for the shepherds to believe, because the lie would be this. If society looks down on you and the religious leaders look down on you, then God probably looks down on you too. It'd be easy to believe that lie. Especially for a shepherd with a physical disability. In John 9, we see where Jesus and his disciples encounter a blind man. And they want to know, well, who sinned? They ask Jesus, who sinned that made this man born blind? Was it him or was it his parents? Why is this man blind? See, the idea was that if you were hobbled in any way, you must be horrible in some way. Jesus said it's not because of his sin, it's so that the glory of God could be revealed. It's so that Jesus could come today and show you that there is nothing too difficult for God. No sin, no disease, no disability. I want you to hear me. God was revealing his glory. I want you to hear this. Sin does disorder us. Hear that. Sin does disorder us. It causes our affections to be disordered. It causes our desires to be disordered. It causes our loves to be disordered. It causes our pleasures to be disordered. Sin disorders us. It is a disease that affects our soul. It is a curse that affects our life. We were not created disordered. You were not created to be disordered. You were not created to be under the curse of the disease of sin. But sin has brought brokenness. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, chose rebellion. Rebellion brought brokenness. That is Scripture's accounting for the problem of evil. Our representatives followed the serpent and chose sin because it looked pleasing to the eye and it promised enlightenment. That's what sin does to us. That is still the temptation and the lie of the enemy, is that if we will rebel against God, it's pleasing to our flesh and it brings enlightenment to our minds. It's the same lie. Well, our representatives, Adam and Eve, they chose the lie. You may say, well, that's not fair. I didn't get a choice. Well, that is why God, in his justice, promised in Genesis 3 to Eve, who was the first person to eat the forbidden fruit, that through Eve, through the seed of a woman, God would send a deliverer who would rescue us from the problem of the serpent. He would cure us of the disease. He would reorder our affections. He would reorder our lives so that we are no longer bound by the brokenness of the curse, but we are free in the Spirit to live through Jesus Christ. Sin isn't a result of the fall. The fall is a result of sin. And every time we sin, we are falling deeper and deeper away from God. See, sin led to the removal of Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. Sin continually leads us away from the garden. Sin continually draws us away from God's intent and God's design for our life and our life with God. Sin, you say, well, what is sin? Sin is nothing less than someone waging war, waging a battle against God and his way. It is not loving God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and not loving your neighbor as yourself, and not following the character and nature of God, and following his commands in his word. Because his word reveals his nature. His word reveals his character. Jesus is the perfect image of the invisible God. And if we want to know what God looks like, we look at Jesus, because Jesus is God. And so sin mars us and disorders us and causes us to not be the image bearers that we were created to be. Sin is going against God's character, his nature, his word. That's sin. Not loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Not loving your neighbor as yourself. Not following God's character, his heart, his word. And as hard as it is to reckon with, God does give judgment on sin and on sinners. I think there'd be more amens from the saints. God does give judgment. Sometimes he gives it in real time, and sometimes he gives it at the end of time. because sin destroys the world he created and the people he created. The payment, the wages for sin is death. The sin of Adam and Eve, the rebellion against God, his word, his nature, his character, their rebellion against him brought death. Our sin brings death. It's important to understand. It says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean, falling short of the glory of God? It doesn't mean, and this, I think this is how we read it, and I get it. But it doesn't really mean that God's glory is up here and we're trying to attain to it. We've fallen short of his glory. That's not really how to understand that. We were created in the garden. We were created to be image bearers of God, to mirror and to reflect the character and the nature of God, to be kings and priests in the garden, like one day we will be kings and priests in the eschaton when Jesus comes back. And so we were created to represent him. We were created to image him. We were created to reflect his glory. But because of sin, we don't reflect his glory. We fall short of reflecting his glory. Jesus came so that we could once again be returned back to what God intended for us to be, as reflections, as mirrors, as images of the goodness of God in the world. But it required a sacrifice. It required a sacrifice. Death requires a sacrifice. Sin requires a sacrifice that only a perfect, without blemish sacrifice. We are hopeless. That's why in the clip we just watched a moment ago, the lamb, the rabbi was... the religious leader was seeking a lamb without blemish. But the lamb could only do so much. Something greater was needed. Someone greater was needed. Someone to lay down their life, their perfect, spotless life, as a sacrifice on behalf of others. In comes Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Sin, as we saw in the clip, sin doesn't just affect the shepherds. It affected the religious leaders of Jesus' day. Treating this man as if he was less than, as if he was insignificant, as if he could not in any way ever be made righteous. The people that Jesus challenged the most were the religious leaders, who were good at calling out the sawdust in their neighbor's eye while ignoring the log in their own eye. He told the religious leaders of his day that they were the blind leading the blind, that they would both fall in a ditch. He said that if the people follow you, they'll be greater sons of hell than you could have imagined. That's what Jesus said. Why? Because they were making it hard for people to realize the grace and the goodness and the mercy of God. See, all of us need the Lamb. All of us need the gospel. Amen. I need the gospel. You need the gospel. The world needs the gospel. Amen. We all need the gospel. Every one of us need the gospel. Every one of us must be challenged to die to ourselves and live for God. Every one of us must be challenged. As people of God, we must be challenged. Can you imagine what's going on within these shepherds? Within their hearts, their heads? We all fall short. We all must come face to face with our sin. Do you love God with all your heart, your mind, soul, and strength? Do you willfully sin against Him? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you willfully sin against your neighbor? We all have to come face to face with our sin. Do you obey the commands of the teachings? We all must come face to face with our sin. And on our own, we are powerless to rescue ourselves. And I'm just going to rebuke the devil right now. He can silence that in the name of Jesus. Can you take care of that, please? I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the devil. The devil wants to interrupt what God wants to do right now. So let's pray. Let's pray. While he takes care of that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke every scheme. We rebuke every scheme of the enemy. We rebuke every lie of the enemy. And we ask, God, right now, that you, Lord, will be glorified in this house. There won't be any distractions because your Spirit is moving like it did on the waters to recreate our hearts. We must come face to face with our sin. On our own, we are powerless to rescue ourselves. We are powerless to save ourselves. Their fear and anxiety may happen in our lives when we realize that we're powerless to come up with a perfect sacrifice. We're all stumbling our way through a spiritually dire situation that is painful. Hear me, church. Perhaps in this morning there are folks in here who, deep within yourself, you say, well, there's no way forward. There's no way. Like the shepherds, you long for a deliverer that can bring you peace. On Christmas, on that holy night, the most amazing thing happened. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped tightly in a cloth, lying in a manger. Then suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to the people he favors.' And when the angels left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what's happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Let's go straight to Bethlehem, because Jesus came to save even us shepherds. Even shepherds, even the religious. Think about all the people God could have sent the messengers to. God could have sent it to the members of Mary and Joseph, their family members. Told them, you got a new baby. Townspeople of Bethlehem, or the religious leaders, or some of the devout Jewish men and women who had proven themselves to be faithful followers of Yahweh. Maybe to a Roman nobleman or emperor or soldier, to wise men. But how perfect it is that the first people to hear of Jesus' birth are the shepherds. It was the way for God to drive home the idea, the truth, that the Messiah was for all the people. For all the people. Imagine what it would have been like for the shepherds to realize that they were the first to hear the good news. There is no way that it did not give them peace. God was saying, I know your battles. I know what the war you've waged in your spirit against yourself, but you have worth. You are loved. You are wanted. You are not overlooked. You are not forgotten. You are not passed by. You are not dismissed. I'm making peace. I'm making peace with you through my son, the Messiah, the rescuer. He will be the perfect lamb sacrificed for you. Jesus is peace. Thank you, Jesus. I've come to bring peace, says the Lord. I've come to those who are far off. I've come to those who have felt unwanted and unloved, and those who have been abused and neglected. I've come to bring peace to those who are at war with me. I have come to bring peace. I have come also to bring a sword that separates, but a sword that brings life. I have come to bring peace. Happened is the presence of the Lord has invaded this space to bring peace even in this moment, in this house. I don't know about you, but there's just this sense of peace. Jesus. The second Sunday of Advent, we see that coming of Jesus allows us to turn away from sin and shame and towards peace. This morning, Elder is going to come and light our candle of peace this morning. And so we light the candle this morning to remember and rejoice that he came for us.
Good afternoon, everybody. I will lead second advent. It's an honor to do this. As we light the candle of his peace this Advent season, may our prayers be that God quiet our restless hearts. Help us trust his promise of peace past all the understandings, that he will calm our fears and prepare to receive his son, the Prince of Peace. May his peace reign with us and flow out the world named Jesus. Scriptures of peace, Isaiah 9:6-7, For to us a child is born, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Peace, Prince of Peace.
Yes.
John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And I don't give to you as the world gives. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not worry about anything. The peace of the God surpasses all understandings and will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Like I said just a moment ago, it's an honor to tell you my testimony. I grew up in a Pentecostal home. Parents taught me very well. I remember the year it was, 2016, when my parents stopped going to church. And I felt more and more departed from the Lord, experiencing substance, experiencing pleasure, what the world has to offer. Living a life of rebellion, hanging out with the wrong people, being in the wrong crowds. Thinking each day, if I'm going to make it alive the next day. And waking up the next morning or even middle of the night, just feel lonely and depressed. Because the world has nothing to offer and no peace. And the worst thing is, I always like blocked off and I want to do nothing with God at the moment. Like, I don't believe that I'm forgiven. Truly, but surely. Yeah, he does. Because merciful he is forever. Like each day I was departed from the Lord, I always asked, you know, hey, am I really forgiven? And a lot of people said yes, because, you know, merciful he is, to give you the blessing of forgiveness. And he said that what you really need is peace, because one, when it was so hard being at home, it's already been arguments, fights between my parents, that I felt no type of peace at all. And I just started questioning, it's like, is it really worth it, you know, to push to go to church, back at it again? And to be honest with you, Prayer does break chains. It really does. And this one person that I really care about, and two of these guys I work with, is Cam and Chris. I love Dr. Death, especially you, who didn't give up on praying for me. I've been here, the first time I came here, the first time I've ever been here, it was a man's meeting. And to be around peace, it was just something I lost. I come to realize when I came to mass meeting, I was invited, and I kept stalling, saying, I don't want to go, because I feel... I felt I wasn't worthy in the eyes of God. I felt nothing. And all it took one day, just get up and just, you know what, I'm going to give it a try. So I came the first time here. Everybody remembers the first time I came over here to this church. I felt very welcome. The churches I've been to in Latin churches are, they're okay. But to have a family here who assess me who I am, I'm always forever grateful. I never close the doors on me and nothing at all. Always encourage me to, you know, keep pushing what's right. And that's through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The second time I came here, because, you know, I was trying to jump the churches to see what's out there, because I wanted to go back in. The second time I came in, I felt the presence. And to surrender once more to the Lord is just the best decision ever. That day, when I came up here and said the prayer, the peace was there. At home, I can walk into my household. Yeah, you know, little arguments, not to the point to break my peace, but to be seeing my parents understand me that I'm trying my best to become a Christian and walk by faith, and God is in front of me also. I know one day my parents will come back. And also this, too, I would really, really want you to still pray for my parents and what's going on with the world, because, you know, a lot of innocent Latinos, immigrants, you know, are come here, are, you know, being separated from parents, you know, families, and such more. And my dad told me that one of our old brothers from our church, one of the parents got separated by no one kids. And it's heartbreaking because there's no peace. But there only is peace through Jesus Christ. And he came to do it. And also this, too, I would like to share my favorite biblical verse, because when I was going back in trying to find God, I remember the two late evangelists, their Latin name is Hector de la Cruz and Gigi Avila, one of my two favorite evangelists. They raised in the glory of God because they wanted to fight. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for us is peace. And by his wounds we are healed. Ain't one other person is going to do that. Nobody else. Nobody else. Only Jesus Christ himself.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for the peace that you've placed in his heart and in his Lord, he is not worthless, but Lord, you came to seek and to save him, just like you came to seek and to save each one of us. Lord God, I pray for folks that are experiencing chaos and confusion. Lord, I pray for peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Can we let Elder know that we appreciate him this morning? Thank you, brother. As we're closing this morning, I want to show you one more clip from the movie. And that is the shepherd's have arrived at the stable. Jesus has been born. I want you to watch what happens.
So beautiful.
We must tell someone.
No, we must tell everyone.
Yes, we must tell everyone.
Everyone. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've waited for this for so long. So long.
His arm. His arm.
His arm.
His arm.
Yes, his arm.
Oh, it's okay. Will you name him?
Jesus.
We will name him Jesus.
The physical wound of the shepherd is bound up and healed by the swaddling clothes of the baby. The baby's arrival is the binding that heals the wounds of the shepherd, but that heals all of our wounds. The wounds of sin that we've committed, the wounds of sin committed against us. That baby will grow to be a man who will once for all bind up all of our deepest wounds by laying down his life. By his wounds, as we just heard, we will be healed. Just as it was promised by the prophet Isaiah, the giving of the shepherd, the good shepherd who becomes the lamb, is the giving of peace to us. Jesus came to bring peace, to make us whole, to make us clean. The Lamb of God revealed to those shepherds, the Lamb of God is our Prince of Peace. You might not be a shepherd, but we have all experienced what it feels like to be a shepherd and what it feels like in Christ Jesus to be made whole. Jesus invites you to peace. He invites you to be made clean, to be made whole. Would you stand with me this morning? That lamb, Jesus, would be the perfect sacrifice. He would be the one who would lay down his life. The blood of Christ Jesus would be what brought our peace. As we do every Sunday here at Real Life Community Church, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We are reminded of the peace that has been given to us and the Prince of Peace who will come again. It took his sacrifice to cover my sin. It took his sacrifice to cover your sin. But praise be to God, we have a perfect lamb. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I pray right now if there's anyone in this room that is not walking in obedience to you, who is living in sin, I pray, God, that they would repent, that they would confess Jesus as Lord, that they would be saved, that they would have peace. And if they need prayer this morning, Lord, your Spirit is able to convict. And if they need prayer this morning, they are welcome and invited and encouraged to stay at this altar so someone can pray for them. This morning, Jesus, we thank you. The Lamb of God, the one who brought us peace by his punishment, invites you to the table to have peace. Two tables in the front, one in the back. If you confess Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior, you are free to come and receive. The elements and the table are open in Jesus' name. That you were betrayed, you took the bread and you broke it, and you said, "This is my body that's broken for you. Take, eat." You took the cup and you blessed it. And you said, this is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for the remission of your sin and every guilt and every shame and every chaos and confusion and every curse that sin has brought. This blood is for that. This blood is for you. Drink all of it. I'm on it when I'm not. That would help me, brother. I appreciate it. How many of you sense peace in this house today? Amen. Aren't you thankful when the presence of God just meets us in the house? Sometimes we only think the presence of God meets us when we run around and we shout. But sometimes the presence of God meets us in the shout, and I love a shout, but sometimes he just pours peace on us just to remind us that he's with us. He's with you today. Such a powerful encounter with the Lord in this house. Just a powerful encounter with the Lord in this house. Peaceful, powerful. See, it's only in God that you can have peace and power in the same thing. I don't know how to any other way to describe the peace other than powerful peace. And it's good. Amen. Amen. Ushers, would you come? I want to give you an opportunity to worship the Lord in the giving of your offerings and the paying of your tithes before you're dismissed. And Will comes to give us our closing announcements and in our dismissal. Giving is an act of worship, obedience, and faith. And I'm going to tell you something, church. As your pastor, it takes faith in me to not do the offering in the middle of the service. Because by 12:40, folks leave. But God is faithful. Lord, I pray that you would bless the gift and the giver. Lord, that they can give in the plate. They can give online at reallifenc.com, the receptacles, the kiosk downstairs, God. But however they give, I pray, God, that you would meet them. You would meet every need in this house, and you would bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Will, would you come and lead us?
That Jesus came to bring peace to everyone, including the shepherds.
Amen.
Amen. If this is your first time, we have a Connect booth in the back. You can see Kristen about that. We also have cards in front of you that you can fill out. Our announcements, December 7th, today. Kids plays tonight at 6. We'd love for everyone to be there. I know Sister Janine has put so much effort into this, like she always does. After the play, the youth is going to Stanley for the light show. If your student wants to come, you can talk to me or Ellison about that. I know we're excited to take them to that. December 9th, this Tuesday, is women's meeting. Where is that at? Is that here? Is that, okay, at Heather's house. Pastor Heather, yeah. Youth Christmas party this Wednesday. So make sure your students are here for that. December 16th is the Angel Tree wrapping night. December 17th is the church Christmas party. The 21st is the carols and candlelight service. And the 24th is the Christmas Eve at home live service. So if you all bow your heads and pray with me. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.